The Royal Nose. Hey, welcome to the Backpack Show. Today, I am your host, Chris Brogan. I used to have a co-host, but Carrie has been busy. I have a cat today, Miss Mew. I am so excited about today. I have wanted this episode for a while now, but I finally got up the dare to ask. And so I have Katie Falls from the show Katie Reads. I cannot wait to talk to Katie about books. Katie is a YouTuber, has a whole bunch of young adult books that she reads, and does all kinds of really good video reviews, all kinds of good coverage. And we're going to talk about books. We're going to talk about YouTubing. We're going to totally nerd out on books that your teenager should be reading, and maybe even you as a grown-up, because I'm a grown-up. I still read young adult. Before we get started, I'm going to say hello to Chloe in Scotland. Hey, look, a cat. I'm not even going to play the cat alert right yet. Hi, Janice. How are you? Hope it's going well there. This is my mom. Oh, she, I guess, didn't want to be part of my show today. You can come on over. It'll be great. Everybody will love you. And there's my dad. So, yeah, we're talking books today. We're talking young adult fiction. We're talking about, I'm going to have to ask questions about libraries, because for all I know, I think she, you know, owns all of these books. We have so much to cover.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to get serenaded the whole episode, I guess. I've been fed. The whole plan for today is we're going to talk about books. My guest, Katie, from Katie Reads, is an incredible book reviewer, a wonderful person. She goes really into a lot of different facets of all the books we read. So we're going to talk about books more than anything else, which if you've got youngish people who read, or if you like fantasy and science fiction, which is, I think, a lot of what she reads, these books don't have a specific age limit set up on them. Listen, before I do that, I'm going to read my ads out fast just so that we can get those out of the way, because it's all Katie today. She's my whole episode. I cleared everything away just so I could talk only to Katie. So if you're an author, speaking of books, you can have your own website really easy, pub-site.com. Set it right up. It's easy, day free trial. $20 a month for this is incredible. That's way less than I'm paying. This is a site built just for authors. So pub-site.com. If you want to go find an incredible book reviewer and have them on your show, you can use StreamYard, cbrogan.me/StreamYard. Yes, I'm that guy in those YouTube commercials. If you don't like my face, you can just listen to me anywhere that there's podcasts, and that's because we're hosted on Castos. If you want to throw up a podcast really easy, go to castos.com. For the hell of it. Do you want a .online domain? You could have katiereads.online. I think there's a Jason Falls online somewhere out there. Or I can't remember what he picked. But anyway, go to cbrogan.me/online. Use the code Chris in all caps. It's Katie's dad's fault that I have this site. That's worth having. So I, without any further ado, except for a couple of quick things. Hola! I'm becoming less Batman and more Catman. Don't make me come over there. I don't even want to talk about it. Katie, save me. Rescue me. Help me. We have to talk about books. Listen, so you do a lot of things. You're like every human. You have lots of passions and interests and all that. What made you go from I read a lot of books to I'm going to turn on the camera and talk to people about them?
I found what we call BookTube around April 2019, and I was reading the Percy Jackson series at the time, so I was really into reading, was binging all of them, and I found these videos and I was like, this is something I could do. My dad does YouTube marketing stuff, and I knew kind of ish what I was doing. I had a little bit of experience with making YouTube videos before, so I was like, this is something I could do. And I finally was like, I'm just gonna do it. I'll probably not get any subscribers, but I think it'll be fun, and I want to make friends who read the same kind of books as I do, because I do have friends who read, but none of them read the same books as me. So I started my channel, and here we are.
Now, when you say about subscribers, you just got a new subscriber already while we were talking, so I'm hoping it's probably one of my pals here, because I just was saying, you know, you have 229, and I was like, oh, no, you have 230, so, and it keeps going up. I mean, I've been watching it. You've got already 13,000 lifetime views, according to my stats, and in the last 30 days alone, you've seen almost 2,000 views on your site. Those are real numbers. Those are real good numbers. you put these videos together yourself. You've learned that you should have thumbnails and all that kind of stuff. I want to learn about that part with you, because it didn't come easy for me. I didn't know. And I kept trying to disagree with the people who said I needed the thumbnails with my human head and a cool font. What made you decide to do it? And how are you learning how to do all this stuff along the way?
I just used the things that I knew that existed. So I use iMovie to edit all my videos. It's cool. A simple software that works perfectly fine for what I need it to do. I used PicCollage to make my thumbnails, because again, something that works and I knew how to use it. And I just did what I knew to how to do it. And I still use that software today. And it's just what I think looks cool. Most of my friends would think look cool, which is like my main audience, is people my age, people who I interact with. And I just picked things that I thought looked cool and I put them on the internet. I don't really.
There's not much more to it than that, huh?
Yeah, no.
Well, so I want to bring up a point about that, though. You have to understand, when you get to, we're all self-conscious all through our life, pretty much. You know, when we're five, we're not. We're like, oh, I'll walk around naked. Who knows? But like the whole rest of our life, we're like, someone's watching me and judging me. But you did a lot of things that a lot of people are scared to do. And you put yourself out there sharing your opinion, which is something that the people watching you right now, a lot of them are so scared to do that they don't make films. How do you help them? How do you say, look, shake it off. You got to go do a thing.
I feel like the first thing that I like.
Did you see that? He says, I guess my brand's going from Jason to Katie's dad. It was a good run.
But like the first thing that I always tell people is people are so caught up in thinking about people are watching me. They're not thinking about you. And especially at first, if you're doing YouTube, I'm not going to say it's hard to gain subscribers, but at first you're not going to have that many people watching your videos. It's probably going to be a couple of family members and a couple of random people who found you. And it's not going to be that many people. And if they subscribe to you, they're going to want to watch your content and they're going to think you're cool. So it's really, and especially in like the book community, everyone's really nice and accepting. I haven't really met one person yet who's like rude. And it's just like a safe space. And it's not as scary as it seems. Like, as when you do your first video, it's obviously gonna be like, what are people gonna think? But once you like start getting comments and people being like, hi, welcome to YouTube, it's not as scary as it was before.
I want to play just a tiny clip, and I hope I don't get copyright stricken, because you know, sometimes creators will do that sort of a thing. And I want to do a tiny little bit of one of your clips just to show people what it's about. And I love your work. I'm a subscriber, so, and I've been for a while, which sometimes people say these things, Katie, to me all the time. We're like, oh, isn't that sweet? I'm like, I like what she talks about. Like, it's not sweet. Like, I want to hear what she's saying. It's not sweet. I don't subscribe to hot ones just because I don't want to see him torture people. So anyway, let's listen to just a tiny bit of your show.
Doing my April TBR.
You have theme music.
So if you don't know, every month to choose my TBR, I play Strange the Reader, which is a TBR game that I have created, which is a kind of Monopoly style board, and it has different prompts on it, and then I will roll the dice to see how many rolls I do, and then I will do those rolls and choose a book based on the prompts on each square. So let's just go ahead and get into the first roll. Starting off the month with the one dice to see how many rolls we're going to do. Four. Okay. So now, roll number one. Six. One, two, three, four, five, six. A number generator. So the first roll that we got was a number generator, and I will insert the clip of me doing that here. Okay, so I'm going to do the number generator. So I have a 1 to 24, and we will then go to my TBR shelf and do what book it is. 18. Okay. You cannot see this. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Okay.
I love this. It's dark as hell, but whatever. We're just going to go with it. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Obviously, I got Chain of Iron by Cassandra Clare, which is honestly perfect. I needed to read this book. I am so excited to read it. I didn't enjoy Chain of Gold as much as I was expecting to and thought I would, but I still did really enjoy it, and I'm excited to get back with his characters and just see.
Okay, so I'm going to pause you there. So there's so many things I want to talk about. So you came up with a game that allows you to pick which book you're going to read, because you like everyone who's a reader, has those books that we bought that we didn't read.
Yeah.
So this is your way to deal with those?
Uh-huh. So TBR means to be read, if
I did not know that. Okay.
So it's a lot of people actually do this in BookTube, and they create games that will have either prompts, or they'll do like a number generator to pick books off of their TBR shelf. And they will then pick the books that they're going to read in the next month, or sometimes they'll do seasonal TBRs. And then you will read those books, hopefully. Sometimes I don't stick to my TBR. That's fine. And I just pick books that I want to read through the game that I created, which is based off of my favorite book of all time, Strange the Dreamer. And yeah, it's basically what it is.
Why is Strange the Dreamer your favorite book of all time?
Okay, so it's, first of all, the writing is incredible. Lainey Taylor just has a way with words, and I love her writing so much. And it also is a book about books. We follow our main character, Laszlo Strange, who was an orphan, and he gets a job at this library. And his entire life, he's been obsessed with this city called Weep. It's a lost city. It has a different name from Weep, but one day the name just like disappeared from everyone's heads, and it's just now Weep. And one day he gets an opportunity to go to Weep and figure out why it was lost, and it's just so whimsical and magical. And I'm definitely a character-based reader, so I connected to the characters, and then the ending hurt me, and I became obsessed with it.
Weep's been gone for well over 200 years, though. How did he find it again? Like, how did you know? It's a lost city because it's lost. We're missing a detail here. How did he find it?
Oh, so people from Weep came to his like library and were taking people to like help them fix this problem that they have, which he doesn't find out the problem until he gets to Weep, and he gets to come with them.
Got it. Come on, I get some points for knowing that it was over 200 years lost, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Chloe, who's in Scotland talking to you, she says, Katie, do you read fan fiction like Archive of Our Own?
I don't tend to read a lot of fan fiction. I mainly just read books, but if I have a book that I really, really love, I will get some fan fiction for it. My friend actually writes a little bit of fan fiction. Funnily enough, her name is Katie too, and she writes fan fiction for the Percy Jackson series, so she'll send me that as she's writing it, and I'll read that because it's about one of my favorite characters. But I don't tend to read a lot of fan fiction.
Is Percy himself your favorite, or who's your favorite in that world?
There are too many favorites, but my favorite like couple is Solangelo, which is Nico D'Angelo and Will Solis. I love them. So she writes fan fiction with them.
Now is that canon or is that a ship?
Oh no, it's canon.
Okay. I didn't know. By the way, we just lost so many people who have no idea the difference between a canon and a ship. So ships are when fans want two people to get together, two or more people to get together. And canon means that it's actually written into the story that way.
Yeah.
So
it's not in like the main Percy Jackson series, but in like the spin-off series, it's a thing. Very exciting.
There's so much to it. So one of the things I'm thinking about is people don't understand these worlds. You said BookTube when you came on, as if everyone knows that that's there. And we don't. Like yeah. you said, you know, all my other friends with TBR shelves, that we all have TBR shelves. Evidently, we all do. We just didn't know that's what you call them.
Yeah.
How do you find these things? Is it just through conversations and chats with other people who love what you love?
Mainly. I watch a lot of book YouTube videos, and they would talk about these things that's just like common in the book internet. and I figured out what they meant, and I now use those terms too. A lot of people who watch my videos watch other book videos, and so they will most likely know what the terms are. Sometimes I forget that like people don't know what I'm talking about, and then I like randomly have to explain it. Yeah, I just like found it through other videos and talking to other people and being like, what does that mean? And they'll be like, it means to be read. And I was like, ah, that makes sense.
So I used to be quite the bibliophile. I used to read a lot, you know, and I would go to the library a lot for it. You seem to have a proud papa because you have bookshelves full of books. And you know what? I'll tell you, this is like one of those when you get a lot older, you lose books over the years because what happens is your friends won't help you move anymore. They say, I'm not moving your 800 pounds of books, idiot. And then that's when you start losing them. But before then, you can love them all you want. Do you also do library books? Do you only get your own books? And what makes you choose between the two products?
So the library in my town just actually reopened to go browse books, which was really exciting. So I've gone a couple times. But most of the time during the pandemic, I would buy my books because it was just easier than placing a hold and having to wait for them. Plus, there are a couple books. I tend to annotate my books, so I'll make notes and tab them up and things like that. So there are a couple books that they're by my favorite authors, or they sound so interesting that I'm like, I want to annotate this, so I'll buy it, because you can't really annotate library books. And I will just basically decide whether I think it's a book that I'm going to want to own, or if it's something that I'm not as sure that I want that I'm going to read and love, I will get it from the library. So it just really depends. But with them opening up for browsing, it's really just what I can find at the library. Oh, I don't own this. I'm going to get it and read it.
Elizabeth says also, I've started to replace those heavy books with Kindle because Elizabeth's moved a few times. So
yeah,
that's what happened. But there's something about the smell of a book. There's something about being able to run your hands through.
People think I'm insane, but books smell so good.
It's totally true. And when you said about annotating books, I have been, for many years of my life, I've been a don't touch the book, don't wreck the book. When I'm done with a book, you wouldn't even know I had been there. because I don't even crack the spines on books. And then I read a book, which is a book about books, so you might like it or you might hate it. It's called Ex Libris by Anne Fadiman. And in Ex Libris, what Anne Fadiman says is she uses books. There's coffee in her books. There's cookie crumbs on certain pages. She rips pieces out. She writes in the corners. She dog ears and then dog ears again. There's colors all over her books. Sometimes she draws illustrations on them. And the whole time I read this, like someone was stabbing me with knives. I was like, oh, you do what? No. And it seems like you have that. Can you show us one of your more annotated books? Are you willing to kind of let us look around the...
This is one of my most annotated books. This is Clockwork Princess by Cassandra Clare. And these are my tabs.
my gosh.
Yeah.
Go to any one of those tabs. Like, why do we need these tabs?
So I just do it based off of emotions, just because it's funny to me to look back at. So I will maybe find a certain quote that I love, and pink, I have like a color code system. I actually have a YouTube video about this, but pink means love. So if I found something that I love, whether it's like a quote or just a piece of writing that I really like, or like two characters, like a romance thing, I will tap it and underline it in pink. So at the end of this book, there is a sad scene. So I have a lot of blue because pain. Hold on. Let me see if I can find another one. I think
so. That's interesting though, because what you're saying is if you feel okay to read a sad part in a book that you've already read, you're like, okay, I'm going to go read that part. And I see all these blue, so I know what I'm going to get here. I'm ready for it. That's so smart, because maybe you're not in the mood for that. Maybe you just really want to laugh.
And then I also have,
hey, Space Spear.
This is The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Schwab. And again, quite a few tabs.
Whoa.
And did I didn't write in this one, but I did just like tab the things that I loved. So I'll go back and if I want a sad part, because I'm just like, I want pain, then I'll go read the blue tabs and feel pain. The purple tabs mean shocking, and then the dark purple mean like foreshadowing or just like other relatable things. Yellow is important information. Green is angry. So there are a couple scenes that made me angry, so I'd have them in green.
I know that situation. I was reading a book. It was a sci-fi book, and it was about a guy who shifts into this other world, and he doesn't believe that the world is real yet. So there's people, there's stuff going on over there, but he's just like, this is so in my head, so I'm going to do whatever I want. and he like hurts this woman, like within a few minutes of being in the world, just like abuses her or whatever. And I was so mad, and I yelled and said a swear word and threw the book, and then remembered I was still in school. So I get detention for reading a book once, which was a little weird, but I get what happened. I mean, I yelled and all that. I shouldn't have yelled, blah, blah, blah. But I wish I had had your tabs. Boy, would I have put a lot of angry. Red means love for you. Elizabeth was asking about joy. Is joy and love relatively the same in your system?
Yeah. So anything that makes me happy, I'll have in pink. There are some books where is it? Can I grab it? Where is it? There are some books where I have these different color tabs that I'll like tab to match the book. Instead of like just like my normal system. So this one I have like a key at the front for all of these different colors instead of my normal ones. So like in this one, the yellow is funny, the orange is shocking, the red was relatable or like just other things. Purple is love because purple is my favorite color. Don't know if you can tell by my dress, but purple is my favorite color. The like dark blue was important, the lighter blue was angry. And then there was like a medium blue, which was sad. And then the gray was connections to this author's other book, Opposite of Always, which there's a band that's mentioned in this one that's also mentioned in the other one. So we can know that they're in the same world, which is really exciting.
That's so interesting to me. That is so interesting to me. So now I want to know something. Do you read, are most of the stories you read fantasy and science fiction? Are some of them sort of more real world? Like what's the percentage of that? Or is it just a mood thing?
I typically read fantasy. That's like my most read genre. I'm actually pulling up a spreadsheet that I have. That's my grandmother. Hi.
Oh, hi, grandmother. I was curious. I was curious about that.
Yeah. But so I typically read fantasy, and then like mystery type things are like my most read genres, I would say. Fantasy, I don't actually really like sci-fi. There are a couple sci-fis that I like, but sci-fi really isn't my thing. But if I can find the chart in this thing. Yep, okay. So we have mainly fantasy, then it's graphic novels. So like comic books, mangas, things like that I read a lot of. Contemporaries, just like realistic fiction. I read a lot of magical realism. So yeah, those are my general genres. The things I don't really read a lot of are sci-fi and horror. And I don't read a lot of historical fiction, but I like historical fiction. I just don't read it a lot.
Yeah, the cat is all over me, and I'll tell you this to be clear. I never let this cat have this much desk space, but you mentioned how much you love cats, so I was like, okay, fine. it's in the show for me. So I have a book for you, and this is interesting because we just had this person on our show, and she wrote a book called The Conductors by Nicole Glover. So my very first thought was, has Katie even heard of this person? Because you never know. It's a small world.
I have heard of it. No way.
It's magic. So it's murder and magic. So you said mystery, and this has got that sort of a thing. A lot of good world building. And she was on, and I just want to go down and read the little summary thing. It says, it's a seamless, conductors plural, by the way, I got it wrong. Seamless blending of magic, mystery, and history, creating power and wonder with its rarefied glimpse of black life in the late 1800s. So the Vigilance Society and the magic-wielding couple at the core of this story are a welcome addition to the growing choruses of voices in black speculative fiction. So Glover's word-building characters and attention to historical detail create a delightful gender-bending, genre-bending debut. Not gender-bending. That's another whole book series.
This was my most one of my most anticipated book releases of this year. So really? I'm kind of freaking out that she was on your show.
Well, so maybe I should get her to send you one because, you know, you buy a lot of books. Maybe she should just send you one.
I mean, that would be very much appreciated.
I am on the case, Nicole Glover. We just had her on. She's a really good lady. All right, listen, I have to ask you something. I'm a little thrown. You have a game system you created. You have a tab system you created. You have a spreadsheet. You don't seem especially into being disorganized. Are you this organized in all of your life, or is this just because you love this so much?
Yes, kind of. I tend to have a lot of Yes, I do. I use the Cawpile system, Cawpile, which is created by G from Book Roast. She has a YouTube channel and Instagram and things. And it's like a rating system. So you put in rankings from 1 to 10 for like characters, atmosphere, writing, plot, intrigue, logic, and enjoyment. And then it will create a star rating. And then you like can put in the genre and things like that, and it'll make charts. But yeah, so I'm typically this organized. I do a lot of journaling and things like that. And when my brain is messy, everything around me is messy. So I try and keep my brain not messy, because when things are not organized, it makes me anxious. So yes.
Okay. So there's a mix of things in there. So
yeah.
There's probably a level to which it's, you know, kind of a thing you do. And then there's another part of it. It's a tool you use to try to help you with some of your stuff. I like that you could talk about that. I like that you could talk about your emotions that way. Janice was just saying that naming your emotions is a great way to build emotional intelligence. Your dad and I are about the same age. We were raised with a lot fewer tools like that. And it was not cool to talk about your emotions. You're in a world where that's a little bit okay. I think that probably helps. But do you talk to other people about how you do any of this, or do you talk to other people who are maybe not as successful at managing their emotions ever, or is that not a topic?
Most of the people I talk to, we don't really like talk about mental health things, but sometimes it will come up and we'll talk about it a little bit. Sure. And I tend to be pretty open about it, just because it's not something that I want, like, we should, it's not something that I want to be stigmatized, English. So I tend to be pretty open about it and talk about it quite a lot. But yeah, so it's not really a topic that comes out a lot, but when it does come up, I'm open about it.
So it's more like those moments of like, you know, girl, same, and then you just keep going and doing what you're doing. You glance off it a bit.
Yeah.
I get you. So I want to know all about a lot of things, but I know we're kind of getting ready to wind down in a bit. Tell me a little bit about your manga and graphic novel reading. Because I was born and raised on comic books, and there wasn't really manga or anime available when I was a kid. It was all either like Richie Rich and those kinds of things, or like superheroes. So what are you into for graphic novels and manga and anime?
I don't read a lot of manga. I prefer to watch the anime than read the manga. But with graphic novels, I love reading them. They're so fast and they're fun. And I'm a relatively artsy person. So I like looking at art, and graphic novels are a great way to do that. Some of my favorites are Heartstopper by Alice Oseman, which is getting adapted to Netflix, and I'm incredibly excited. The Tea Dragon Society by Katie O'Neill. What are some other ones that I have? Pilu of the Woods by my favorite.
I was about to say I've never heard of any of these, but I've heard of that one.
And Anything by Tilly Walden, I love. I haven't read all of her stuff, but most of it I have, and I love all of her things. So yeah, those are like my favorite graphic novels.
Wow, that was quite a bunch. For animes, do you have any, do you recommend animes for people to get started? Like, are there, you know, kind of the canon and go-to ones that you want people to try, or?
My favorite one that I've watched, I haven't watched too many, but The Promised Neverland is super dark, but really good. I also watched Ouran High School Host Club, which was also very good. And I really want to watch Death Note. I haven't watched it yet, but my friend has, and they love it. And they also read all the mangas, and they love it. So
yes. Don't watch the Death Note Netflix adaption, though. Has everybody told you that? Don't watch that. It's not worth it. That's a great list. I would probably throw Avatar: The Last Airbender, which is going to head towards another question. You're going to say you probably watched that, didn't you?
Yeah, I have. Okay. Technically, Avatar is a cartoon, not an anime, because it's not Japanese.
You're so right. See, you're a wizard. That's why you didn't bring it up already, because I didn't ask that topic. I get you. You are so smart. Do you read mostly female characters, mostly male characters? Do you care? And how do you use these kinds of places to explore things like gender conversations and stuff like that?
I tend to read mostly female authors and female man characters, but I don't really care if it's by a male author or has male characters. It doesn't really matter to me. And I tend to attempt to read as diversely as I can. Just because I read for escapism, but I also think that it's important to diversify yourselves and support authors of color and diverse authors, queer authors, disabled authors, etc. And it's a great way to learn about those experiences and kind of like put yourself in that character's shoes for a little bit and just see what it's like living that experience. And I attempt to read as diversely as I can. Sometimes it doesn't go as well, and sometimes I just end up reading all white authors for a month. But I attempt to read as diversely as I can just to kind of get that experience through books.
Well, I mean, you have to read what's out there, and there's a lot of the genre, sci-fi and fantasy genre especially, there's a lot of white authors. You know, yeah. it's just what you get. Katie, your dad, I am led to understand, writes books sometimes. Mm-hmm. They're not the kind of books that Katie reads just yet. My kids could care less. They don't like my books at all.
I read, but I have it right here.
But you have it. Because he made you. If you want to keep that book allowance going, you better put Winfluence on the show. No, I'm joking. Are you tempted to go all the way in and write a YA or fantasy book?
I am actually currently writing a book. It's nowhere near finished, nowhere near going to be published. It probably will never be published, but I do like writing. And I don't know if I'm very good at it or not, but me and my friend Lily, who also has a channel, Lily Reads and Other Things, she writes a lot, and it kind of inspired me to start writing. And so I'm currently writing a book, and if I find one that I really love and I want to get it published one day, that would be great, but it's not like I want to be an author.
Okay. So you don't want the incredible angst of having to write in dark places with nobody around you for several months at a time and release it finally just to see a lot of people say bad things about your baby?
Yeah, no. It's not like my goal in life. If that happens, neat. But
right.
I don't really know what I want to do with my career, so.
Sure. Why would you? You're 12. You have all the time. All the time in the universe. Katie, but I do have a question about that. Are you sensitive to how you review books? And I kind of know the answer to this because I'm a subscriber to your channel. But you don't talk a lot of smack about books. You don't say, this person's crappy. Who even let them write a book? I've never seen you say that.
No, I'm not. I don't stop myself from giving bad reviews, but I tend to, if I'm not liking a book, I won't finish it. So, and like the YouTube book community, we call that DNF, so did not finish. And so sometimes I will just not finish books that I don't like, so that stops me from giving bad reviews, because I don't tend to write reviews on books that I don't finish because I haven't read the whole story. So that's, I think, the main reason why I don't give that many bad reviews. And there are a couple books here and there that I don't really like that much, but I don't talk smack about them just because right. A lot of people do love them, and I don't want to like be like, this book is terrible, and then make them feel bad for liking the book, because everyone likes different things.
That's true too. You know, I was saying it from the point of view of the author, but you're right. Like, there's a lot of readers who just love a book and everyone goes and poops on it, and you're like, oh, I guess I'm not supposed to like this book. And you sort of like hide your book in the closet, so to speak. Listen, I'm being instructed now. I'm being told what to do. Tell him about the book you recommended to me, Buried Beneath the Baobab Tree.
So this is the book, Buried Beneath the Baobab Tree. And this one is about a girl who was kidnapped by Boko Haram, which is a terrorist group. Oh, wow. And it's about her experience and what that was like. And the author talked to victims and wrote this story. And it was very hard hitting. So if you're like not in the correct headspace to read this, don't put yourself through that. But it's so important. And I think that more people need to read it, because this is something that I'd never heard about before I picked this book up. So yeah, if you're looking for a sad recommendation, here you go.
That's a good sad recommendation, though, because sometimes you need sad things, because you have to understand what it's yeah. adding or doing to the world. And if people don't know who Boko Haram are, it could happen again, or worse things could happen. That's important. I need to know something. Your grandmother said that, and you had that book like it teleported. You had it like you knew that was the very next question. How did you put your hands on that so fast? Like, if I say quick, first book of Hunger Games. Does that just materialize in your hand, or how does that work?
No, I just have my bookshelves right here. So it was like literally right there.
But really organized or something. You knew right where it was.
Yeah. I'm kind of picky about my books. If you said The Hunger Games, though, The Hunger Games is actually downstairs. I have, like, a separate shelf because I don't have enough room on my bookshelves where I keep, like, Harry Potter and Hunger Games. And I use
that old stuff you read back in the way old days.
Yeah, so I keep those down there. And those are, like, the books that I would, like, lend to my step-siblings, too. So that's where I keep those. But, yeah, I keep my books pretty organized. I don't like it when they get messy because, again, it freaks me out. So I typically organize them by height. As you can see, this shelf does not apply, but that shelf up there is all UK sized paperbacks and things like that. So I know where everything is because I don't have a super extensive collection. I mean, I have more than a lot of people do, but it's not
I was going to say, you bring that lens around, people are going to argue with you on super extensive or not. Chloe had another question. So you have two viewers from Scotland now, by the way. Nancy's in Scotland as well. What is one book you think everyone should read?
That is very difficult because there are books that I love, but I know that not everyone will like them. So I think my immediate answer would be The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas, because it's incredibly important for everyone to read that. But if we just went on, like, my favorite books,
strange. We're going back.
Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo, which is, like, a big fantasy series, which it's technically, like, a sequel series to the Grisha trilogy. It's a whole thing, but I love this duology, so.
Six of Crows. That was awesome. I love it. Once again, they're just right there. You just know right where they are. You're going to pick them right off. They're just there. That's so cool to me. Katie, we're nearing the end of this thing, and I have to point out something. Your pop said, I don't think she's going to make it to 40 minutes. We can keep going. You feel comfortable, I would assume. We're having a good chat. We got a lot to talk about here. I feel like I didn't really even ask you all the questions I need to ask you, but, you know, we have to wrap up shows eventually. Let me ask you this question. Who else is another book person that you like to read, watch on the BookTubes? That you mentioned your friend, Lily. Who else should we also be checking in on and, you know, kind of get a back and forth going?
Okay, I keep going. Lily from Lily Reads and Other Things, who is my best friend in the entire world. And we met through BookTube. Allie from Allie and Books. April from Aprilius Maximus. Chloe from Books with Chloe. Other people.
You just whizzed through like five, like they were naturally. Everybody watches these.
Molly from Mind of Molly, Deja from Deja's Book World, Zoe from Book Hooked. I could keep going. I'm not gonna keep going because I'm sure that I would go on for hours. But those are the ones that came to the top of my head.
Those are some killer shout outs. That's a big list too. Well, all right. I have maybe two more questions. One is, do you watch any of the stupid regular YouTube out there? Like, do you still like sneak a little Markiplier here and there or anything like that, or Good Mythical Morning?
No, I don't. I don't watch a lot of the same YouTubers that all of my friends watch. I do watch things other than BookTube. I watch a lot of like journaling channels and like StudyTube. I don't know, people who are in college. I find it interesting, and like things like that. And just like lifestyle channels, but I don't watch gaming channels because I'm not interested. I will watch some of my favorite BookTube people have Twitch streams where they'll play Animal Crossing, and I like Animal Crossing, so I'll watch those. But other than that, I don't really watch Markiplier or anything like that.
Those people, yeah. I was just thinking, like, I couldn't even imagine you doing that. I couldn't imagine you sitting down. I watch some of those, like, you know, Good Mythical Morning and, like, you know, Will It Blend? And, you know, I just can't see you doing that. all right. So I think I've asked those questions. Schooling question, and then I'll let you go. You're doing remote schooling this year, I think you said. What's that been like compared to in-person schooling, and which do you prefer, do you think?
It has not been as difficult as I thought it would be. My school is currently doing, if you want to stay online, you can, but go in person. So most of the kids are in person. And so that is a little bit difficult, just because the teacher is teaching the kids in person. And
Oh, so like, you're getting the camera on and off kind of.
Yeah. So I'm just like watching the class, and sometimes the teacher will like mute their computer, and then they won't be able to hear us. So we can't ask questions. And it's also just a little bit different because, you know, my cat, is now Box Cat to everyone in my religion class, because she was in a basket and I carried her up to my room to have her in my lap during class one day. And now she is Box Cat to everyone. So it's just a little bit odd. It's more casual, but other than that, it's not that different. And I think I do prefer online school just because I'm a socially anxious human and I like being able to sit in my bed in class.
Me too. My 18-year-old finished the last year of high school in quarantine and he said, why couldn't I have done this all along? This is the best. So
my mom, the other one, hates, you're never gonna do online school, like you have to go in person. I'm like, now COVID is a thing, why would I ever want to go back? Although my school isn't offering online classes next year, which is a little bit annoying, but you know, it's fine.
That's right. We'll have to figure out what to do with that. All right, so I have a question I've asked every guest who's ever been on the show, and you carried the whole show all by yourself. There's no other guest. You ran the whole show with me. Now, here we have the last question I ask every single guest, which is, what goes in your backpack? Now, this could be something physical. It could be something metaphorical. I'm going to tell everybody in the audience right now, if you don't guess what's going in Katie's backpack, you haven't watched this episode. Katie from Katie Reads, what goes in your backpack? Oh, Strange the Dreamer. I'm so surprised.
Although, I mean, I could also take one of my other copies of it.
Did you get a UK sized PB yet of it or no?
Yep. My friend, there it is. Sorry. Sent me this one. This is the UK hardcover. This is the US paperback. And this is the US hardcover, which is also heavily annotated.
Wow. Wow. Can you read us a quote you love from that? Can you have a lot of love in there? Can you read me one quote you love from that?
Okay. Only one.
Oh my I know. That's like telling you between all your babies which one do you love. I know.
Well, the one I actually, this tapestry right here has the quote on it. It's "The dream chooses the dreamer, not the other way around." Or "It was impossible, of course, but when did that ever stop any dreamer from dreaming?" Dream up something wild and improbable, something beautiful and full of monsters. I could keep going. I turned my ears into fireflies and caught them in a jar.
That's there's impressive. So many. I don't think you listen to a lot of musicians either. I think you just quote books. All right. Well, listen, I have to do a couple more things. Oh, thank you. Did the cat just turn on a piece of software for me? That's a new experience. They just opened up Discord and I don't know how. Katie, we have another thing we do around here.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
And our person of the day is going to be Elizabeth Quintanilla, who maybe just left, by the way. I think she had to leave, but I liked a lot of her comments today, and they're really spot on. Will says, this is awesome. Well done, Katie. This is somebody we know as well. I have a feeling. I have a suspicion. So I liked your idea of your book. By the way, one of our guests ever, Whiskey Nate said if he had to put one thing in his backpack, he said, I'd put a book you hate. And we all went, huh? And he goes, because if it's the only thing in the backpack, you're going to have to read it. And he goes, and maybe you'll come to a different opinion about it. Maybe something will happen differently. And I thought, that's crazy wise and well wiser than I'm capable of. I don't have that kind of skill. I don't believe in it. Katie, this is so great. I did want to say one thing is that I was a big reader growing up. I read a lot of stuff, and my grandmother would never have taken one of my recommendations like your grandmother did with the Baobab Tree story. Instead, I'll tell you what she would do instead of giving me that kind of an opinion.